Well, this is week two in our series on everyday habits. We're trying to be reminded of those everyday habits that we need to practice so that we can become more like Jesus Christ, because that's the ultimate goal. And this today, some of you probably slept in a bit, but you know, tomorrow the time's going to be changed. You're going to be going to bed a little bit later. And this is actually a good time of the year, and this happens twice a year, this strange thing about this time change. It's a good time to say, I'm going to start a new habit, maybe a couple of new habits. And I would encourage you to think about what are the habits that you need to change now that your life is disrupted a bit with this time change. Go ahead and make the changes that you need to begin developing the habits that are going to help you to become more like Christ. Or maybe you're already into some kind of a habit, and let me encourage you to tweak that habit to make it more effective. Because the reality is that if you have no desire to become more like Christ, then it may be an indication you're not a follower of Christ. If you have no desire, but maybe you say, you know, Mark, I am a follower of Christ. I want to follow him, but I just don't feel like doing some of these things. Well, then maybe you're at the point where you need to start making choices to do certain things and then wait for the desire to come. It's a little bit like eating food, right? You know, true story here. To be honest with you, I used to eat like a bowl of Cheerios every night. You know, I'd feel a little hungry, and I'd eat supper at 5:30, and then I would, you know, 8:30, I'd feel a little hungry. So I'm going to have a bowl of Cheerios. So I would have a plain Cheerios, mind you, not this sugar coated stuff. But because it was plain, I would put a couple of tablespoons of brown sugar on it. Brown sugar, right? It's healthier. And I would do that every night and think, you know, that's okay. But then I realized, you know what? I'm gaining weight. I'm eating too much sugar. I would put 2 teaspoons of sugar in my coffee. And I said, I need to change. So we just quit doing that. And you know what happened over time? My taste changed. All of a sudden now, I don't even think about eating at night. Well, every once in a while, I'll think about it, but I recognize that, no, I don't want to do that because I've recognized the benefits of eliminating those things, not eating so much sugar. And I was probably addicted to sugar. And it changed my tastes. Well, it's the same thing with our spiritual taste buds. You can actually change your spiritual desires and plans and intentions by changing your habits so that your focus becomes on other things. And that's what we're encouraging you to do, and this is a great time of the year to do it when we change this time frame. Because we need to understand what Jesus talked about in John 15. In John 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. We need to be connected to Christ. We need to remain in him, abide in him. We need to live our lives in him. And in that passage, he says in John 15:11, I have told you this, I've told you about remaining, abiding with me, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You see, these habits that we're talking about are not so that we can just say we're really disciplined people. No, the ultimate goal is to be like Christ, because being like Christ, abiding in him, results in joy. You can experience greater joy in Christ than you can find anywhere else in the world. And we need to believe that, and we need to practice that. Last week, Devin talked about the importance of the Word of God and the importance of responding, spending time in God's Word, listening to God's Word, because God has spoken to us. All of the other disciplines that we're looking at, including this one today on prayer, is a response to God's Word. Because we're either responding to God's Word in worship or in prayer, or we're obeying what God's Word says to do the other disciplines that we're looking at. So we need to think about this habit of prayer as responding to God. Now, if you haven't been following Jesus for very long, you're probably thinking, you know, I'm sure there's going to come a day when I'm going to be able to pray, and it's going to be such a joy, and I'm just going to want to get up every morning and just pray, and it's just going to be an easy thing to do. Well, if that's what you're thinking, let me just break you in on a little reality here, is that it doesn't matter how long you're a Christian for, prayer is not easy. Prayer is a struggle. There are times when it is easy, and there are times it's just a great delight. Other times it's difficult. And there are times when you're not going to feel like praying, and you just have to choose to do it. In fact, the Bible describes prayer in terms of a struggle. Colossians 4:12, when we looked at the end of Colossians, I mentioned Epaphras. Paul mentions Epaphras at the end of Colossians. He says, he's always wrestling in prayer for you. Wrestling is not an easy thing to do. It's not a sport that I took up in high school. I enjoyed basketball better than wrestling. It seemed like too much work. Wrestling is difficult. In Luke 18, Jesus told his disciples a parable. And you know why he told them the parable? To show them that they should always pray and not give up. Because the tendency, Jesus understood, the tendency was for people to give up praying because it's not an easy thing to do. And Jesus wanted to encourage the disciples, you need to persist in this. In 1 Peter 4:7, Peter says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Peter understood that when we live in this world with all of its difficulties and struggles, the natural tendency is for us to just put prayer aside and not pray. And he recognized that prayer was going to be a challenge, and we need to make the choice to pray and not give up. Now, this is a very topical message, but there's one passage I would encourage you to turn to, and that's Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is the passage where Paul spends this time developing the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. That Satan and his enemies are arrayed against us, and every day we live, we face opposition. And so Paul says, you need to put on the full armor of God to resist the attacks of Satan against you. And at the end of this section where he talks about the armor of God, the next thing he says is in verse 18, where he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. It's always all. And it's interesting that Paul says when it comes to this spiritual battle, there are two things he tells us to do. He tells us to stand, and we can do it with the battle, with the armor. And then he tells us to pray. So prayer is a part of this struggle that we're going to go through. It's always going to be a struggle because it's one of the ways we respond to the spiritual battle that we're facing. The moment you chose to follow Christ was the moment you chose to change allegiance. You said basically, Satan, I'm no longer going to follow you. I'm going to follow your arch enemy. And as a result, you are in the midst of this battle. And facing this battle is far more, the consequences are far more serious than stating your political affiliation on Facebook. You know what I mean? If you have a bunch of friends on Facebook and you state something, you're political on Facebook, and you're gonna face some controversy, some difficulty. But this is far more serious than that, because we're talking about the spiritual forces of evil in this world that are seeking to prevent God's will from taking place. So we need to understand the significance of this. Now, I've been around long enough that I could say certain things that could very easily make all of us, including myself, feel very guilty about our prayer life, right? I could talk about how little we pray and how we could pray more if we really wanted to. If you weren't just trying harder, I can make us all feel guilty. But I've also been around long enough to know that that doesn't work. Right? You would feel guilty and you would leave here, and tomorrow morning you'd wake up, okay, I should try and pray harder. And that's not going to change things. And as I think about prayer, and as I've been thinking about what is it that prevents us from praying more and praying like we should, I realize that in my life it comes down to two things. And these are probably two things that I think are the reality for many lives. The first thing that I find that prevents me from wanting to pray like I should is the way my view of God. I have a wrong view of God. Now, this is not something new. This is something that you find throughout the Bible. That a wrong view of God affects the way you act and the way we live. Abraham, the great man of faith, struggled for many years to believe that God would actually do what he said. And as a result, he did some pretty foolish things in his life. The children of Israel, God promised that he was going to give them the land. They get there and say, they're giants in the land. It looks tough. I don't think God's going to come through for me. So they didn't obey God. And as a result, they ended up experiencing the struggles in the wilderness for 40 years. Even the disciples, the ones, they were living with Jesus all throughout his life, throughout his 3 years of his life. You'd think they would believe him, but they struggled throughout those 3 years to really believe. Is he really? Even though they saw the miracles. And it wasn't until Jesus died and rose again that they recognized that he was the true and the living God. And you know what you find when you read the New Testament? After Jesus rose from the dead, beginning in the book of Acts, one of the things you find the disciples doing over and over again is praying, because they understood this God is the true and the living God. His Son is real. He rose from the dead, and it changed their whole perception. If you want a positive example, just look at Daniel and his three friends. Remember Daniel, he prayed consistently, and because he prayed, he knew that by praying he was going to be thrown to the lions and probably torn to pieces, but he also believed that God could protect him. God could shut the mouths of the lions. And he, because of his view of God, he was able to move ahead and pray consistently. His three friends, the king said, you worship the idol instead of your God. Or if you don't do that, if you keep worshiping the idol, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And the three friends say, fine, you can throw us in the fiery furnace. We're not going to worship anyone else because we believe God and we know who he is and he can deliver us from the fire. But then they say, even if he doesn't, it's okay because he is still true and he's the living God. You see, your view of God affects your view of prayer. And if we want to change the way we pray, we need to start by thinking about God and who he is. Because our struggle with believing in God is believing he is as great as he claims he is, or he's as good as he promises to be. If we don't believe God is powerful enough to deal with our problems, then why pray? God's not going to come through. You know, some people think about that, think of talking to God sort of like talking to a politician. Now, no offense against politicians, but especially, you know, now with the election coming up in the States and all this, you know, we hear politics all over. But politicians have a tendency to be so focused on everybody else that if you shake their hand, it's like, hi, how are you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. Yeah. Hi, how are you doing? Good to see you. You know, it's like they're not paying attention to you. They're just trying to keep everybody happy. Some of you think it's a little bit like talking to the pastor after church, right? He sees somebody who's leaving. Oh, I got to talk to so-and-so. And you're trying to tell me what's going on. And I remember there's a new person I want to go and meet. And it's like, God isn't like that. God can focus on each one of us. And he understands us, and he listens to us, and he's great, and he's good, and he cares. So a wrong view of God is the first thing that will really mess up our prayer lives. And we really need to make sure that we understand how great he is and how good he is. But there's a second thing that I understand that messes up with my prayer life, and that is a wrong view of myself. You see, our world says, you can do it. You just need to believe in yourself. You can be whatever you want to be. It's all about you, and be positive and think positive thoughts. You see, if you buy into that kind of thinking, why do you need God? It's all about you and what you can do and what you can accomplish. Believe it. Trust yourself. And that just, if we believe that, there's no need to pray. You see, I can handle it on my own. When you read the New Testament, especially Paul says, I can do nothing apart from Christ. And Paul was a brilliant man who was well educated. And he says, apart from Christ, I'm nothing and I can do nothing. When we choose not to pray, we're basically declaring our independence. We're saying, I can do it. Thank you, God, for the offer, but I'm okay. And we need to change that perception. There's another misperception we can have about ourselves, and that is thinking that my joy and peace, rather than being found in God, It's found in the circumstances around me and how good things are. Whether I'm healthy, whether I'm wealthy, whether I'm doing well, and what people think of me. And those things will determine my level of joy. Not abiding in Christ, but the circumstances that I'm going through. And if my circumstances are better, then my life will be better. Or my joy is based on how comfortable my life is. Being healthy, feeling good, having nice things that make life easy. But if I'm thinking about life from that perspective, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to be motivated to pray, because you know that you've prayed for some silly stuff before and it didn't come through, so why would it happen then? God is not here to just make your life easy. That's not his goal. You don't find in the Bible that God's goal is to make your life easy and happy. Now, there's joy in Jesus, but there's also suffering. He says, don't be surprised, you're going to suffer. And when we think about the persecuted church around the world, a great majority, I mean the majority of Christians around the world, follow Christ at great cost. North America is an exception. You need to understand that. If your life is fairly easy, like most of our lives are, you say, well, no, I'm sick, I've got an illness. Our lives are easy compared to people around the world, where they don't have a job because they're Christians, or they're being persecuted, or maybe one of their family members was killed because they're a Christian, or they cannot meet, they're not allowed to meet because they're Christians. We don't understand how difficult it is for so many people. And if we think that it's all about having an easy life, living a simple life, some of us think that when Jesus said, pray for our daily bread, that we're going to be able to enjoy lots of croissants and caviar and cappuccinos because, you know, after all, we're children of the King and we deserve so much. No, we don't. We look forward to an incredible eternity, which is going to be unbelievable, far better than anything you can imagine. But there's no guarantee that you're going to experience all that good stuff on this earth. We need to have this attitude that God loves us like a father loves a child, and he wants what's best for us, but he knows that if he just gives us all kinds of good stuff, our tendency is to forget him. And it shows up when we tend not to pray. So if you want to make prayer a habit, it begins with understanding that God has spoken in his word, and we need to respond to what God has said. Do you realize that children learn language from their parents? If a parent never spoke to a child, they'd never learn how to speak, right? Because what happens? The parent says, Dada, Mama, and keeps repeating it until the child says, Dada, Mama, the same way. And you know what? That child learns the same language, the same accent, the same habits, the same way of speaking it from their parents. And in the same way, God has spoken to us, and our learning how to pray needs to be a response to what God has said in his word. And the more we listen to God and his word, the more we respond and pray the way he wants us to, because we're responding back. And one of the best things you can do if you want to grow in your prayer life, learn to read the word of God and pray it. So you read something and you find a truth that God has said and respond in prayer. Say, God, thank you for what you've done. Help me to put this into practice. Or reading through the Psalms, just use those Psalms as prayers and express those as your own prayers to God. It's responding to what God has said and making that a part of our lives. So if you want to summarize the main point of this, when it comes to prayer, we need to remember that what we know and believe about God is far more important than what we say to God. So often, our prayers, we're so focused on what we're going to say when we pray, when maybe we should focus in on how great God is, how good God is. Because if I really believe that, I'm going to respond in prayer, and sometimes my prayer is going to be silence before the awesome God, because I'm responding to him in this sense of worship And that's just expressing that prayer. And maybe some of you are saying, you know, I haven't prayed for so long. I'm so tired. Maybe I don't feel like praying. One of the first things you should do is just come before God and say, God, I'm tired. I haven't prayed for so long. What am I going to do about this? And even that longing for prayer, that longing to change your attitude, that's a prayer that God delights in. Because he knows that in your heart, you want to pray more. And God delights in hearing that. Now in Matthew chapter 6, just before Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, he told the disciples these words. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You see, God is more concerned with what you know about him than the words that you use. Focus on God when you pray. Because after this verse, he goes on and gives the Lord's Prayer, which focuses in on the Father and his kingdom and his will before it gets into our basic needs. And when we focus on God and what he has done and his Son who was sent by the Father to give us life, and the Spirit who was sent by the Father to empower us to live and even to pray when we don't know what to pray for, that changes things. Sometimes I've heard people say, you know, I've given up on prayer. I've lost faith in prayer. Since when did God tell you to have faith in prayer? He doesn't. Some people think, oh, I really believe in prayer. No, don't believe in prayer. Believe in God. Put your faith in God. And prayer is just the way you express your desires and your longings to God. But put your faith not in prayer, because my prayer isn't that great. My faith needs to be in God. And prayer isn't about how much time you put in, how getting the words right so that it works. Prayer is just coming to God and responding to what he has said. When we get a proper perspective on God, we'll develop this changed perspective of ourselves. We'll see ourselves as totally dependent upon God for everything. Every breath that we breathe, our significance, our dreams, our hopes are all defined by our relationship with the Father. Because the moment you put your faith in Christ, you switched loyalties, you put yourself in a position against the enemy of your soul, and you need to live with that understanding that you are living every day in battle. One of the best images that I've heard to describe prayer is that of a soldier facing desperate odds. The world is against him. He is in desperate trouble, and he's on his knees crying out for help. That's the attitude we need to have. We need to recognize that every day, if we didn't have God's help, if we didn't have this all-powerful, all-loving God who cared for us, we would be in great trouble. We would be desperately in trouble. And we need to cry out to God, God, just like that soldier who is understanding his life is probably going to come to an end unless he sees some intervention. That's the attitude we need to have when we pray. Okay, I hope that I've challenged you enough to change your perception of prayer. Because that's the key, right? That it's got to start there. But now let's just think for a minute as a discipline. If we're going to make prayer a discipline, what do we need to do? You can't just assume that, okay, let me get my attitude, have my attitude right about God and prayer. And unless you're super spiritual and you go through every minute of your day praying, which I haven't met anybody that can do that, then we need to make it a discipline. And in order for something to be a discipline, you have to have certain things in place. So you need to start with a time. When are you going to pray? You need to make a decision and a choice to pray so that you're making that choice, so you're doing it so that eventually it will change your desires, right? Your spiritual taste buds. So you need to choose a time. And many people, most, I would say probably a majority of Christians find the first thing in the morning, they need to spend time in prayer. Spend time reading God's word and then responding in prayer. And maybe for you, it's morning, afternoon, and evening. And don't think, Well, we pray a little prayer before lunch every, you know, breakfast, lunch, and supper. So I pray three times a day. Oh, that's great. And you need to do that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about disciplining yourself so that prayer becomes a habit in your life, so that you're finding your delight in God. You're getting that perspective, reminding yourself of who God is. Then the second of all, you need a place. I have found that for my life, having a place is just as important as the time. I need to have a place where I'm going to go and I'm going to sit down, and I know that when I get in that, if you do that enough, you get into the frame of mind, you know that as soon as you sit down at that time, at that place, this is what I'm doing. I'm focusing in on God. I'm spending that time with Him. And if you can't find a quiet place to do it, maybe you need to be like Susanna Wesley from 100 years ago. She had, I don't know how many kids, she had like 8 kids or something like that. And her husband was this famous pastor. And what she would do is she would, in the middle of the day, she would find a place and she would take a blanket and throw it over her. And the kids all knew that was her time to pray. And if that's what you have to do, then do that. But find a time, find a place where you're going to say, this is going to be my discipline that I'm going to do consistently. And if you're in this shift work where it doesn't work to do it every day, then say, every 3 days I'm going to do it. Just find it, find out what works for you. Make it a regular discipline. The third thing you need is a pattern or a plan. Have some way that you are going to make it consistent. If you just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to pray and... oh yeah, somebody mentioned something about something. Okay, I guess I could pray for that. Your prayer isn't going to be very consistent. And it's not going to be very enjoyable. And before long, you're going to forget about it and not think about it. But if you have a plan, follow a pattern. Many people like the acrostic, ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, spending time adoring God, confessing your sins to God, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Giving thanks and then asking God for specific things. Personally, I like to use the PrayerMate app. It's an app that's available. It's free. I looked it up earlier this week and found out that the Muslims have an app called PrayerMate. Don't use that one. I don't recommend that one at all. Okay, there's a Christian one, PrayerMate. It's great because you create lists of things that you're going to pray for. And in those lists, so I have my first list is awareness. I have a list of things that I need to pray for regularly to remind myself of how great God is, how good He is. Remind myself of certain truths. Maybe I listen to a sermon. Somebody says something at sermon. Wow, that's something I've forgotten. I need to remember that. I'll put it in my list of awareness. And the app, you can tell the app how many things you want from each list. So I have a list of awareness. I have a list of repentance. Sins that I struggle with, like fear, anger, lust, pride. So every day I'm going to pray for one of those sins and look at my life and say, how am I dealing with this? Am I confessing this sin? And then I have a list of missionaries that I pray for. I have a list of pastoral needs that I pray for. If you tell me something that you're struggling with, and if I put it on my prayer list, that's where it goes. And so I get several things from that list every day. And I would encourage you to think about that. I have a family list that I pray for. Find some way that works. Devin, I don't know if he still does it, but he used to take an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and fold it with two folds. So you have 6 panels, and he would have each panel would be a day, 6 days a week, where he'd list the things that he prays for. If that works for you, then do that. The important thing is make a plan. Find something that's going to work for you. Even in the app, you can subscribe to different prayers that will help you praying scripture. Or the one I really enjoy is Scotty Smith has a daily prayer called Heavenward. And it's just, I just enjoy reading his prayer and praying his prayer. And it's usually focused on something that's happened in the world. Just very, really enjoyable and helps you to learn from somebody else. You need to decide what works for you, but come up with a time, come up with a place, come up with a pattern or plan that you're going to use to make this a discipline. But remember, it's not about the words that you say so much as it is understanding who you're praying to and who you are as you come to this awesome King, your Father, who loves you and delights in you and wants you to abide in Him so that you find true joy. Let's pray. Our Father, I confess my own heart and my own struggle with prayer. Help me to see the ways I develop a wrong view of You or a wrong view of myself that prevents me from praying like I should. Help us as Your people to make prayer one of our favorite habits. Help us to find You to be our greatest joy and treasure. Thank You for Your Son who opened the door so that we can approach You as our Father. May Your Spirit work in our lives to make us more like Him as we practice these daily habits, because we know that that's the ultimate joy. In His name we pray. Amen.